Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
It's important that we understand ultimately what the good is here. All things work together for the good to those who love God. This is not good just in a general sense. And quite honestly, it's not even good in the sense that we might think, well, I think that would be good. Lord, that would be a good outcome. I'd be happy with that. No, the good here is something beyond that.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and a message titled, All Things Working Together for Good. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
I cannot figure this out. Lord, I can't see any way that this is helpful, that this is beneficial for me, for anybody else involved. I can't see how this is furthering your plan, your purpose. You can be sure that there were times of deep, deep darkness and depression for Joseph. But he lives through this ordeal. And then you remember the story, how Pharaoh has a dream, and he tells his dream to the people around him, and one of his servants says, oh, I can't believe it. Pharaoh's looking for somebody to interpret the dream. There's nobody there that can do it, but the butler said, oh, you know, I can't believe I did this. There was a Hebrew when I was in prison. Says to Pharaoh, you put me there, remember? I was there. And I had a dream. And this young Hebrew, he told me the meaning of the dream, and it happened exactly as he said. And I forgot, I wanted to speak to you about him. But anyway, he can help you, Pharaoh. He can interpret your dream. And so that day, Joseph was called out of prison. And he was, by the end of the day, he started the morning in prison. By the end of the day, he was the prime minister of Egypt. Amazing story. I wonder what he felt like when he woke up that morning, if he thought, had any premonition whatsoever that things are going to change wonderfully for him that day. Probably not. Probably just thought, it's another day in prison. Here I am. But that's not the end of the story. God raises Joseph up to be the prime minister, but he raises him up not just to bless him and bring him out of the affliction that he was in, but he puts him in the position so he would ultimately become the savior of his own family, who would have perished during the famine that came. And so Joseph himself would say later to his brothers, after everything's been exposed and they've been, you know, seen for their dastardly deed there, and the Jacob has, you know, found out about it and all of that. And then Jacob passes away, and the brothers are fearful. They think, okay, now that our dad has died, Joseph is going to take vengeance on us. And they come to him and they're fearful. And Joseph says, no, listen, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save many lives just as it has happened. And that's the thing. There are things in life that are meant for evil. Satan has evil designs to destroy us, to destroy our faith, and he comes against us. The circumstances of life, sometimes people have evil intentions and plans and plots and schemes, and they're going to overthrow us. They're going to bring us down. And yet, it seems like God isn't doing anything. He's not intervening. He's not helping. And it seems like you're going to go under. But then something happens. And you find that just as God did with Joseph, he comes through. Now, with Joseph, the thing is, of course, you can see, Joseph was able to see in his own lifetime, in his own experience, how these things actually turned out for the good. And there will be many times that that's the case with us as well. But as I said earlier, there might be a few things that we will never really figure out. And that those are the things that we have to just simply put back in the Lord's hands. We have to just simply say, well, you know, that's one that'll just have to wait. I think that's especially true when you lose a loved one, especially somebody that was young. Maybe your parents died young, or maybe you had a child that passed in their youth, obviously. And, you know, those are the things that, how do you figure that stuff out? You probably never will. I was talking to Greg Laurie a while back about his son, Christopher. And, you know, it's one of those things. He'll never figure that out. He'll never be able to understand it. He's never going to look and go, oh, yeah, I see it all now. Oh, yes, all things work together for good. That's never going to happen this side of heaven. That's just the reality of it. But there are things that we do get to see this side of heaven. We do get to see God work things out. And again, history shows us that in the lives of God's people. Joseph just being one example. We could look to others. We could talk about David. We could talk about Daniel. We could talk about various people in the scripture where those kinds of things, you know, seemingly wrong things for God's people. Wait a second. How could this happen to one of God's people? But yet, those things were allowed. But we see through the stories how God works them out. Moses is another, of course, a great example. But you know, I was thinking about some current illustrations. And there were a couple that came to mind. A few weeks ago, I had to get a visa to go to Brazil. So I had to go to the Brazilian consulate in Los Angeles. And so I walked in, and as I'm standing there, this guy comes through the door, and he's in this contraption, sort of like a wheelchair, but it's not really a wheelchair. And I look at him, and I think, wow, that is Nick Wojcik. Now, Nick Wojcik, if you don't know who he is, he's a guy who has no arms or legs. He was born with no arms or legs. He's a Christian. He's a great evangelist. He's amazing. But he's lived his entire life without arms and legs. He wrote a book called Life Without Limbs. So there he is. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's Nick. So I'm standing there for a few minutes, and you know, the place is crowded, and of course, somebody comes in with no arms and legs, and everybody's looking, but trying to pretend like they're not looking at him. And he's super gracious, you know. He's just like, hey, yeah, it's kind of weird, but here I am, you know, it's okay. You know, and one man is just like, could I take a picture with you? You know, and I couldn't believe how gracious Nick was. He goes, can I take a picture with you after you're done? He goes, let's do it right now. I go, man, that is amazingly gracious.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
So anyway, I'm standing there, and finally I just go, okay, I gotta go over and say hi to him. So I went up and I said, hey, we have a few mutual friends, and I just, you know, want to introduce myself to you. And I told him, you know, who our mutual friends were, and oh yeah, that's great, you know. So, you know, he goes, give me a hug. You know, and, you know, doesn't have any arms, so it's like, okay, I'll do the hugging, you know. And but you know, he leans his head on my shoulder and stuff, and but you know, it's just amazing. And he told me, he goes, yeah, I'm going to Brazil because I've been asked to go down and speak to some company down there with thousands of employees. They've asked me to come down and they just want me to share my story. And he said, and you know, I do a lot of things. I do a lot of things in churches, and I share the gospel, he said, but I do a lot of things for other, you know, corporations and things where I don't come in as a Christian speaker, but of course I am a Christian. So he says, all the way through, I tell him about this book and my friend. And then at the end, I tell him the book is the Bible and my friend is Jesus. And then he gets to minister to him. So, but anyway, you know, so here's Nick. And he's probably, you know, late 20s, maybe early 30s right now. He was so excited when I saw him because he told me he's engaged. He's going to be getting married. And I thought, wow, what a blessing. But, you know, after meeting him, I wanted to kind of get a little bit more familiar with his life. So I've been watching. There's some stuff on YouTube and all of that, you know. And, man, oh, there was one. I was telling Cheryl about it. There was one. He's Australian. And, of course, being without any arms and legs, he got the attention of the media. And there's a little documentary on him when he was a little boy. And it's just so astounding, this guy, this kid. But anyway, so I'm looking at this, and you know, I mean, let's face it. And they're interviewing his mother in this thing, and it's like, you know, she said, when we were told that our baby had no arms and legs, she said, I just thought it was a dream that I was going to wake up out of. You can't have a baby without arms and legs. That just can't happen. But there he was. And so she said, "There, you know, for the next several years, it was just every day trying to figure out, how do we navigate this? How do we work with this child? But this has been the very thing that has opened the door for this guy to go around the world and share the love of Jesus. It's amazing. I don't know exactly when he got saved, if he grew up in a Christian home or he didn't grow up in a Christian home, but I'll tell you, man, God is using this guy powerfully, and I can pretty much guarantee that he wouldn't be being used to this extent if he wasn't in the state that he's in. It's this very condition that God is using. All things working together for good. So I'm following him on Twitter, so I see that he's, you know, hey, check out my new song. And I'm thinking, my goodness, he's got a song? So I checked it out. It's amazing. It is a great song. The guy can sing. And he can write songs. If he wrote that one, I think he did. But then he's got a video that goes with it that is so powerful. Something More. Go home tonight and watch it. I was going to actually show it tonight, but I was too brain dead to remember to do that. So, but check it out. It's astounding. And the whole thing is about the fact that when he was 10 years old, he tried to kill himself. Because what's the use of a boy with no arms and legs? Man, it is powerful. All things working together for good. But as I'm watching this, there's another video with him surfing with Bethany Hamilton. Okay, you know who Bethany Hamilton is, right? She's the young pro surfer girl whose arm was ripped off by a tiger shark. And again, another illustration of a situation, a person. I mean, your arm gets bitten off by a shark and you're a pro surfer. This is a problem. This is not a good thing. And here you are as a young Christian, and you're looking at Romans 8:28, and you're saying, what? All things work together for good? You mean the fact that I only have one arm now? That's a good thing? But you know, you talk to Bethany today, and she'll tell you how good God is. And she'll tell you the amazing things that God is doing in her life and what he's done since this situation occurred. And we know how God is using her life. She made a movie. Hollywood couldn't resist it. They made it. And they promoted it. And millions of people have seen it. And she's still pro surfing. Amazingly. But you see, this is the kind of stuff that you look at, and this is the stuff that you would be tempted to say, well, look, no, I can buy, you know, some things, I can buy most things, but, you know, don't tell me all things work together for good. I had a baby that was born with no arms or legs. You don't tell me that that's working together for good. Talk to Nick Vujicic. He'll tell you something different. Oh, well, don't tell me that, you know, all things work together for good. I only have one arm now because of a shark attack. No, talk to Bethany. She'll tell you, all things work together for good. And there are multitudes of other people that will tell you the same thing. So you see, we've got the fact that God is the creator. He's all powerful. We've got the fact that God really does love us, not just theoretically, but he loves us. He proved it. He came and he made the ultimate sacrifice of putting himself in the place of us to die, so we wouldn't have to. And then we've got history where we see this truth illustrated over and over again in the lives of God's people in the past, in the lives of God's people in the scriptures, and we could just spend an endless amount of time telling the stories of God's people who have proven this to be the truth over the years. Now, let me say this. It's important that we understand ultimately what the good is here. All things work together for the good to those who love God. This is not a good just in a general sense. And quite honestly, it's not even good in the sense that we might think, well, I think that would be good. Lord, that would be a good outcome. I'd be happy with that. No, the good here is something beyond that. This is the ultimate good. This is the eternal good. You see, again, with this, like we've talked about before, we have to go back and get an eternal perspective, which is something that we often fail to do. We so often think of things in relation to time. We think of it in the here and now. We're not thinking eternally. So we're looking at everything like, well, how's this affecting me now? How's this going to affect me 5 years from now? What is this going to be like 20 years from now? We've got to get out of time and we've got to realize, wait a second, there's another thing that's operating here. It's called eternity. And what God is doing in your life, although it certainly has bearing on the here and now, it has its primary bearing on eternity because that's where we're going to be. The here and now is brief. The investment, the work, all that God's doing in you isn't just for the next 10 or 30 or 50 or 70 years. Although it certainly has relation to that, it's for forever. It's for eternity. And the good is specifically being conformed to the image of his son, which he tells us in the next verse. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That is the ultimate good. That is the thing that God is moving us toward. And all of these things in life that we experience, good or bad, they're all working together for that one glorious purpose, to make me and to make you like his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's happening. That is what's happening. Now, how does God cause all things to work together for good? How does he do this? God only knows. This is one of those things. His ways are unsearchable. Now, some people would say, well, God causes everything to work together for good because he pre-planned everything out and everything's just going according to his plan. I don't think so. Of course, God planned everything. And everything is going according to his plan, but not because it was predetermined to go in that direction. God allowed for freedom for people to mess up the plan. But God is so great that even allowing men freedom and the ability to mess up the plan, he's able to still keep the plan on course. That's the amazing thing. That's how great our God is. I mean, you know, just think of, you know, just think of a tornado ripping through a city and just destroying everything. And as quick as it's destroyed, it's replenished and restored. Well, that's what's happened. Sin is like a tornado that's just been ripping through the world for all of these centuries. And it looks like, from a certain point of view, the whole plan is just being destroyed. And who could ever pick up the pieces? Who could ever make this right? God can. And he is. And all of those things, those evil things that Joseph's brothers did to him, God used all of that. And he turned it around and he used it for his glorious purpose. And that's what happens. Evil things happen to us. Evil people plot against us. But nothing they can do can ever thwart the plan of God, because God's in control. Because God is sovereign. And even though he allows men freedom to mess it up, he's not going to let them mess it up. In the end, he's going to use all of those things to benefit and to bless his people. And only God can do that, because he is omniscient and he's omnipotent. He knows everything and he has all power. That's why God can do it. And that's why we can't even fathom doing it, because his ways are unsearchable. We don't even know what that would be like. Think what it would be like to know everything simultaneously. Everything. You know it all immediately. You know everything that there is to know presently. All at the same time, you know it all. You ever think about how God, how he listens to you pray, but then he's listening to the person next to you pray, and he's listening to people around the world pray? And it's not like this jumbled thing in his head, like, wow, what are they saying down there? Man, it's so confusing. Can you guys pray one at a time? You know, I'm losing something here. No, it's like you're the only one praying. God is focused in right on you immediately, knows everything that you're saying, but he knows everything that everybody else is saying too, perfectly. That's why he's God. That's who God is. And he knows everything, and he possesses all power. He can do anything. See, this stuff is unsearchable. This is unfathomable. But it's because of who he is that we know that all things work together for good. It's because of who he is, because he is the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving God. We can take Romans 8:28 and say, it's true. And I don't have to have it proven to me. It's true because of who God is. And therefore, since it's true, I'm going to trust in it. I'm going to stand on it. And I'm going to wait. And if God allows me to see the manifestation of its truth in this life, I'm going to rejoice. But even if he saves it for the other side, I'm not going to worry about it, because he knows what he's doing. And that's where we come to that place of just peace. We come to that place of just like, you know what? It's okay. The Lord is in control. So remember that. We know all things work together for good to those who love God. We know they do. We don't think they might, merely. We don't just, well, I hope it's the case. But as God's people, we know all things work together for good. I might not understand how right now, but I can have confidence that they do.
For the month of February, Back to Basics is offering the book, When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies, by Cheryl Broderson. Author and speaker Cheryl Broderson inspires women to embrace their identity and fulfillment in Christ by shedding the lies that have plagued women since Eve. Lies such as, I'm not good enough, God isn't strong enough, I'm too flawed to be loved, or God can't use me. In this engaging teaching, Cheryl presents relevant examples from women today and from the Bible, and practical guidance to help women believe in God's promises and power through His Word, and the blessings that follow obedience. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order the book, When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies, by Cheryl Broderson. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this month's book. You'll find this month's book and all of our other resources waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.